Good morning, and thank you for joining us today. I'm Maria Auler, Financial Analyst for Intersement. With me here today for our earnings call and fireside chat is Paulo Diniz, our CFO, and Marco Zangari, our Head of Corporate Finance and Planning. The presentation will be followed by a question-and-answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, you may send it via webcast. The presentation is available through the webcast link that has been provided to you in your registration email. Before we start, please note that on this call, you will hear discussions of non-IFRS financial measures, including EBITDA, adjusted EBITDA, and margins. Reconciliation of these non-IFRS measures to the most directly comparable IFRS financial measures is contained in the accompanying material that supports this call or the financial report, which is available at the investor section of our website as well as on the Singapore Exchange website. During this call, we will make forward-looking statements about events and circumstances that have not yet occurred, including outlook and projections of Intersement's operating activities, and their anticipated financial impact on our business and financial results for 2022 and beyond. These statements are based on management's current expectations and actual results, and future events may differ materially due to risks and uncertainties, including those detailed from time to time in filings Intersement makes with the Singapore Exchange Commission. Intersement disclaims any obligation to update information contained in these forward-looking statements, whether because of new information, future events, or otherwise. Please refer to the Intersement third quarter financial report for a basic discussion of the relevant risks and uncertainties. Our public information is available on our website. So having said all that, let me kick the ball here and ask you, Paulo, to give us a quick overview of Intersement third quarter, please.
Hi there, and very good morning to everyone. No doubt that the third quarter of this year continued to present critical issues to all companies, such as managing inflation and ensuring resilience as the world faces unprecedented uncertainty and change. Despite this challenging environment, we continue to pursue our vision stated at the beginning of the year, that is, to see this year as a year to defend the position we reached in 2021. In fact, the third quarter brought us a volume of almost 5.5 million tons, slightly over the volume booked in the third quarter of last year. Average ex-works price was up by almost 20% to $84 per ton, so that net sales reached $574 million, an increase of 16% in comparison to the same quarter of last year. At the same time, costs continue to pressure by inflation, so that average cash cost, including freight, went up by 23% and reached $74 per ton, showing that the inflationary pressures were not fully passed to prices. Therefore, adjusted EBITDA reached $130 million. That is a 2% increase over the third quarter of last year, although EBITDA margins of 23% was 3 percentage points lower in comparison to the same period of last year. Cash flow from operating activities came at $106 million in comparison to $128 million in the third quarter of last year. As expected, higher financial expenses penalized the free cash flow, although at $101 million in comparison to $44 million in the third quarter of last year. Needless to say that cash from financing activities was further penalized by dividends paid by Luma Negra in the quarter. Therefore, net debt came at $1,458,000,000, basically same level of the previous quarter, implying a leverage ratio of 3x. So, in summary, these would be my quick comments for the quarter, Maria.
Excellent, Paulo, and thanks for this overview. When you talked about a top line of $574 million in the quarter, can you share some insights with regards to volumes and prices in the different geographies, please?
Certainly. Remember that the $574 million of sales were the result of a 1% volume increase to 5.5 million tons in the quarter and 20% price increase to $84 per ton. Taking a look at the different perimeters, in Brazil, Intercement Brazil reached sales of $201 million, a 20% increase year over year. Volume-wise, Intercement Brazil continues to reflect the behavior of the cement industry in the country and booked a 5.6% volume drop year over year with 2.3 million tons. In general, uncertainties coming from the political front were added to the tough macroeconomic scenario, which was marked by higher interest rates and growing household indebtedness. Besides the reduction in new constructions coming from the drop on real estate launchings. As far as price is concerned, Intercement Brazil was able to keep an average price of $71 per ton, level 23% higher in comparison to the third quarter of last year, mitigating the volume drop and cost pressures. Looking at the perimeter of Argentina, despite the poor macroeconomic conditions prevailing, including an inflation that shall close the year at around 100%, households continue to see real estate as a way to preserve the currency power. Therefore, in this third quarter, Luma Negra posted a volume of almost 1.9 million tons, an increase of 13% year over year. Additionally, average price of $105 per ton, up 14% year over year, showed that the company was able to manage cost pressures, pricing policy, and distribution channels. Now, in terms of the African cluster, let me have Zangari comment on that. Zangari?
Yes, thank you, Paulo. And good morning, everyone. So let's move to Africa, where I would start highlighting our revenue growth of 14% year on year, reaching $108 million, based basically on pricing discipline across our three markets, combined with some volume growth in South Africa. As you can see on page 6 of the presentation, we sold 1.3 million tons in Africa in the quarter, just slightly below last year. And again, when we look at each market, we noticed that such stability was not the norm in this quarter. For instance, in Mozambique, volumes declined 14% year on year in the quarter due to a weaker demand across the country, which results from the combination of low public expenditure in infrastructure with reduced disposable income from the families. In Egypt, although the construction activity keeps growing moderately and enhanced competitive dynamics promoted by the production quota system is still in place, we recorded a 3% volume decrease year on year as the comparison base was also high last year due to the month of July, which recorded strong sales benefited by the start of the production quota system. On the other hand, in South Africa, volumes increased almost 13% year on year, driven by the demand for bagged cement in the rural sector and the low comparison base in July 21, when a civil unrest halted sales for almost 1 week. Now talking about prices at our African operations. Our Ex Works prices kept recovering and reached an average of almost $79 per ton, 18% up year on year in US dollar terms, despite the devaluation of the local currencies, mainly in Egypt and in South Africa. On a like-for-like basis, prices increased by 34% in the quarter compared to last year. In local currency, it's still in Egypt that we posted the highest expansion of average price, reaching 59% year-on-year. However, given the Egyptian pound devaluation, price in Egypt is still the lowest price among our geographies in US dollars. In South Africa, we are also pursuing the strategy of price over cost, and our prices increased around 18%. Also in Mozambique, prices have recovered very nicely and accumulated a 30% increase year on year during this quarter and 29% in dollar terms.
Thank you, guys. It's really great to hear that. Despite the continuation of a challenging macroeconomic environment, Tercement continued to manage its top line in a very healthy way. It seems that, similar to last quarter, the general price increase has not been enough to absorb the cost pressure. Impact on EBITDA. Paulo, can you comment on that, please?
Yes, as we have said, average cash cost of $74 per ton represented an increase of 23% year over year. Although thermal energy costs, mainly petcoke costs, continue to be at a high level, other cost elements also were inflated, including raw materials, freight, electricity, and manpower. Overall, and unfortunately, cost elements persist to stay at a level higher than we expected. Consequently, the adjusted EBITDA margin of 23% represented a compression of 3 percentage points compared to the third quarter of last year. On the other hand, it's important to note that in absolute terms, adjusted EBITDA came at $130 million in the quarter, so a 2% increase year over year. All in all, a very promising result in spite of some local currencies devaluations. Look at the different regions. In Brazil, price increases partially mitigated the volume drop and cost pressure, so that Tercement Brazil EBITDA was at $46 million, slightly below the $48 million registered in the third quarter of last year. EBITDA margin of 23%, although at a decent level, represented a drop of 6 percentage points over the third quarter of last year. In Argentina, Loma Negra felt the ongoing cost pressures, so that the company posted an adjusted EBITDA of $60 million, a 9% drop year over year, despite excellent volumes and great prices. Adjusted EBITDA margin went to 23%, also a reduction of almost 6 percentage points in comparison to the same quarter of last year. Finally, in the African cluster, sales were at $108 million, a 14% increase year over year, more than offsetting the cost pressure in the region, so that adjusted EBITDA came at $21 million, a 31% increase year over year. Although important to note that adjusted EBITDA margin in the region went up by almost 3 percentage points and reached almost 20%. Yet, in general, we may say we continue to see difficulties in one country being offset by the other two countries. All in all, we cannot say that cost inflation is losing steam, as we would like to see, but we continue to manage properly our pricing and go-to-market policy in the different markets.
Paulo, interesting to see that, despite the unfavorable cost rebound and uncertainties on the macro front, Tercement was able to keep a robust top line of $574 million and a healthy EBITDA level of $130 million in the quarter. So, moving now to the below-the-line results, let me ask you, Zanga, what can you say about this third quarter?
Maria, regarding our below-the-line results, what first comes to my mind in the third quarter is definitely the high operating cash conversion of our operations due to a better management of working capital. Meanwhile, our CapEx, basically the investment in the maintenance of the operations, was in line with last year, amounting to $31 million, while income taxes paid were $15 million, a decrease of $9 million due to lower taxable profit in Brazil and Argentina. As a result, our free cash flow to firm reached $115 million, which is $45 million higher than last year.
Zangari, besides working capital moves, CapEx, and taxes, any other movement below the line, including financial flows, that you could give us some additional color?
Yes, Maria, sure. As we mentioned during our last earnings call, in July we executed other bilateral loans in Argentina, following that financial strategy to maximize debt that is held at the OPCOs instead of at the HoldCOs, aiming to improve our capital structure in the operational level and overall. The new loans in Argentina amounted to $160 million, denominated in local currency, and the proceeds were used to distribute dividends for both Intercement and minority shareholders. It's also important to mention that even after paying out $80 million of dividends, Loma Negra's financial leverage is still low, around 0.5 times adjusted EBITDA. Now looking at the interest expenses disbursement, we see it totaled $34 million during the quarter, an increase of $9 million, mostly in Argentina, driven by the growth in the total debt position that I have just mentioned. Lastly, during the quarter, we had a $44 million payment of dividends, mostly from Loma Negra to its minority shareholders, but also from our hydroelectric power generation businesses in Brazil to the minority preferred shareholder. In addition to it, other financing activities in the period amounted to $104 million, which mostly related to a liquidation of debt in foreign currency with local funding converted to U.S. dollars in Argentina. Reflecting all those cash movements, Intercement ended the third quarter of the year with a cash position of $203 million and a net debt of $1,458 million, posting an increase of almost 12% over our net debt position at the end of last year. As I mentioned, this was mostly driven by the higher payment of interests and dividends, including the higher financial expense in Argentina, generated by the liquidation of debt in foreign currency with local funding. As a result, Intercement posted a financial leverage of 3 times adjusted EBITDA, similar to the level we reached by the end of last year.
Just great to see that. Despite the existing limitations, Intercement continues to manage properly its cash flow, which included an $8 million dividends payment by Loma Negra. Paulo, anything you might share to give us some extra color on how the year should end?
Well, at this time, really that I do not have much to say, Maria. The only point I want to emphasize or re-emphasize is that despite some major challenges and surprises we faced during the year, I continue to endorse what we said in the beginning of the year. 2022 is a year to defend the recovery we posted in 2021. Therefore, volumes might well be in line with the 20.1 million tons of 2021, and the adjusted EBITDA shall be slightly better than the $407 million posted last year. As it is the case for the last 12 months figure, and also the 9-month figure we reached by the end of the last quarter.
Thanks, Paulo. So I guess we can now break for our Q&A. Let me just start by asking you, Zangari, the cash breakdown among the different perimeters at the end of the third quarter, please.
Certainly, Maria. As shown on page 11, we ended the quarter with a consolidated cash position of $203 million. Out of that amount, we had $65 million at Intercement Brazil and $24 million at Loma Negra in Argentina, $37 million at the African cluster, the three countries, and $78 million at the corporate level or holdcos.
Thank you, Zanga. Let me also open the floor to other questions from our investors, analysts, and bankers. I would like to remember all that you may send your question via webcast.
So first question comes from JP Morgan, Asset Management. Ruben, he asks, how should we think about CapEx spent next year, and what can we expect regarding dividends from Loma Negra over the next year? And also regarding capital controls, is it likely to eliminate this possibility of dividends?
Well, as far as CapEx is concerned, I guess it's important to have a metric for maintenance CapEx in the cement industry that turns around $5 per ton. Therefore, if we are producing a little bit more than 20 million tons, that means a little bit more than $100 million. On the top of that, we always have, you know, investments in order to improve production efficiency, in order to be more cost competitive, or even for compliance reasons. And on the top of that, we could have some strategic investments. But it's important to see that all those second category of investments, or even the third one, the strategic investments, they are really a function of the cash generation generated by the company. In other words, in case the company continues to generate a decent amount of cash, we could go for those investments. Otherwise, we could reduce those investments. On the second half of the question with regards to Loma Negra dividends, yes, I guess we do not see a reason why the cash generation power of Loma Negra should be reduced. And therefore, we continue to see that the best way to keep, you know, cash generated by Loma Negra is really in the pockets of shareholders. So we shall continue with that dividend policy. And at the same time, we do not expect any major change in terms of the FX controls that were imposed by the Central Bank of Argentina. Certainly not before the next presidential elections in 2023.
So next question comes from Jonathan. Hi, Jonathan. He asks about the $18 million equivalent maturity that we have at the holdco level, when this is due and whether it's been paid or will be paid, rolled over. And the answer is that it's due by the end of this week, and it will be rolled over. It will be paid and refinanced. So it's good news.
Yeah, by the same bank that lend us, they are going to roll it over. Correct, yeah.
Another question from Paulo. Can you please comment on refinancing in general?
Yeah, somehow this is also a similar question that was posted by Marcelo from Itaú BBA. I guess that perhaps first taking a look at the 24 bonds refinancing, at this point in time, we believe that the best way to do that is first try to get some adjustments in the debentures that we have with the local banks, Bradesco, Itaú, and Banco do Brasil, so that we can provide a bit more, I would say, features into a bond. At the same time, we want to make sure that the company is in a stage of readiness with the numbers of the third quarter, fourth quarter, and even first quarter of next year, so that, you know, in the first quarter of next year, second quarter, third quarter, we could refinance the bonds. So it's clear that we are going to be talking about no haircuts. We are going to be talking about better economics, and we are also going to be talking about some collateral that shall imply better liquidity and therefore the current yields or price that are totally unrealistic compared to the you know, credit metrics of the company. We do expect that to be away. So in a nutshell, with regards to the bond refinancing, we are going to be ready and wait for market window. In case there is you know, a decent market window for a tender new offer, we would go for that. In case there is not, and such as the current situation, we would just go for an exchange offer. At the same time, we want to make sure that we have a final decision with regards to our African assets. Basically, as you know, we have a mandated international bank in order to take a look at the different strategic options that we have for the African cluster. And our internal goal, our commitment towards of our board of directors, is that by the end of the first half of next year, at the latest, we should have a decision on what to do with those assets, as we do have a couple of options in our hands. At the same time, we believe that, you know, starting in the second half of next year, or certainly in 2024, the IPO market here in Brazil should be back. Therefore, we are also keeping Intercement Brazil in a readiness stage, so that when we do see that market window, the company could tap it. So this is basically, you know, how we see the company moving forward. And it's also important to see that by doing those transactions, by executing on that pathway, basically we would be zeroing the debt at the holding level. Okay.
Marcelo also asked us about what we expect for the Brazilian cement market next year going forward. And for this, I would say that given that now we have the elections already over and a new government defined, we can say that in Brazil, the support for the housing program, the public housing program, should keep in place. And then according to what are the projections from the National Industry Association, we see next year the growth being mild in Brazil in terms of volume, between 0 and 2%. But going forward, that should start accelerating, not only because of those housing programs and housing demand in general, the huge housing deficit we have in Brazil, but also because there is important infrastructure pipeline of concessions and privatizations that have already happened during this current government, and that will demand cement and construction activities for the following years. Okay. Yes, and on Brazil as well, Mike is asking us about pricing, whether it was more difficult to achieve price increases during this last quarter, given that during last call, we have said it was in average $72 and now it's $71. Yeah, so there is this exchange rate effect on this calculation, but it's also true that in local currency, those increases that we've seen in the first half of the year now have reduced its pace because volumes are also not growing any longer. And we were expecting, as much as also the market, that the cost pressure would be already softening. So now prices are still going up depending on the regions, but the average that we mentioned is also a reflect of the mix of the regions where we operate. So there are regions where we have different prices, and when it is where it is lower than the others, when we sell more in that region, that brings our average a little bit lower. But all in all, we should still see room for more price increases as costs keep going up, given that we have much more rational and consolidated industry in Brazil right now.
Yeah, there's a question here from Maximilian from Anaxis Capital on the kind of free cash flow expect for the full year 2022. I guess that in general, perhaps we shall have something very similar to what we saw in the last 12 months. And taking the last 12 months, we are talking about an adjusted EBITDA of $487 million. Then we had negative variance in working capital of $9 million, capex of $152 million, taxes of $90 million, and therefore coming to a free cash flow to firm of $236 million. So we had interest expenses of $158 million, minority dividends of $36 million, and therefore a free cash flow of $42 million. So we do not expect major changes for the whole year. And taking a look at 2023, we should start with an adjusted EBITDA slightly above what we should be seeing this year. Also, in terms of our working capital movements, I guess that we should have a higher need. At the same time, we should have a lower capex. Also, taxes should be much lower than what we are seeing the last 12 months, mainly because we are pushing down debt into the operating companies. Therefore, we should have a higher free cash flow to firm than $236 million that we are seeing in the last 12 months. Interest expenses of $158 million could go up a little bit due to the current interest level. And minority dividends, it's going to be a function of, you know, how much we decided to pay, so that a free cash flow could be higher or lower than $42 million, depend on the amount of dividends that we decide to pay. So this is as a kind of a general outlook how we see the free cash flow this year and next year.
And we have a last question here from Matthias, which is whether we can give more color on the cash flow at the old level of this quarter, given that we ended the previous quarter with $34 million and now we have $78 million at the holdco level. It is true, Matthias, and it's basically due to the dividends we received from Loma Negra. And not only that, which was slightly above $40 million in July, but also from the operations in Africa and also from Brazil. So all the operations, they keep generating cash, and there is a recurring cash flow from the operations to the holdco level. Okay, an extra question coming from Adam. Can you give us some context around your overdraft facilities, working capital lines, and how you intend to manage those lines going forward?
Yeah, well, those are kind of revolving lines that we do have in Argentina, Egypt, Mozambique, and South Africa. And therefore, they are pretty much constant in as part of our working capital. So when the companies need, they do use them, and otherwise they do not withdraw. So this is something that we do not have any reason to say why, you know, the banks would, you know, extinguish that. So, yeah, it's in our plan to continue to have those lines.
An extra one. Carlos is asking how we are facing the $150 million debenture maturity next year.
Well, that is basically comprised by two parts, one coming from Intercement Brazil and the other one at Intercement Participações, the holding company. Needless to say that there's no problem with regards to the portion to be amortized with regards to Intercement Brazil. In terms of Intercement Participações, the holding company, we want to make sure that we can keep a decent level of liquidity. That means that we are also discussing with the banks a kind of potential support in case it is needed. But I guess that it should be fine both ways. Mm-hmm.
Well, Paul and Zanga, many thanks for this interesting fireside chat.
Thank you, Maria, for hosting this, and looking forward to seeing you all here again next year for the closing results of 2022.
Yes, Maria and Zangari, I also enjoyed this morning with our investors, analysts, and bankers. Many thanks for being with us, and have a great day.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you all for joining today and have a pleasant day. Good luck.